Bobby Wayne, friends from birth, playing out in the woods. Bobby Wayne looked at me right in the eyes, smiles and took a smile and says, gonna do what our mamas and daddies do. Somehow I knew just what he meant, cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free.
With a crowd of my friends, been muffin women, cause I don't like no men. It's true, I wear color and a tie, make the wind blow all the while. But to say I do it, ain't nobody caught me. They sure got to prove it on me.
All right. We heard a couple of audio clips that were sent to me by J.D. Doyle. That was Doug Stevens and the Outband, Out in the Country, Ma Rainey, Prove It on Me Blues, and Tom Robinson Band, Glad to Be Gay. And we'll be playing some more clips later for you, and J.D. can talk to us about that. J.D. Doyle is a radio host, producer, collector of GLBT and gay-related recordings, and queer music history activist and educator. He's the host of Queer Music Heritage, a radio show and a website created to preserve and share the music of our culture. Co-producer of Audiophile, the monthly radio review of CDs of interest to the GLBT communities, airing on This Way Out, and co-host of Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston every Monday night from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Good evening, J.D. You're on the air with
Hi,
Fresh
Dixie.
Fruit. Hey.
It's strange to be on the other end of the interview.
I can imagine.
Usually when I get an artist on the phone, I've researched quite thoroughly, and here, okay, I don't know what you're going to ask. Great introduction, though.
Well, thanks, thanks. Glad, thanks for sending those clips, too. Why don't we start with just telling our audience, our listeners, a little bit about your background and how you got interested in queer music heritage and radio.
I've been a music collector pretty much all my life, and I wasn't collecting queer music all that time. I was collecting, in the 70s, just general rock and roll and rhythm and blues and whatever, mostly the stuff you heard on the radio and some more historical stuff. And then during the 80s, I became a fanatic collector of girl group music of the 60s, and I had an extensive collection of that. And I kind of lost interest in that and around mid-90s. And during all these phases of collecting, I would gather queer records now and then, and I always kept those, mm-hmm. even if I sold the other collections. I always kept the queer music. And then I decided I was really interested in it, and I started, amassing more and more, and I got involved with some of the Internet resources that were coming along at that time. I got involved with the Glamma Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I became a judge for that even before I had a radio show, so that was pretty good, and started connecting with people online and artists, and do you want the how I got into radio story?
Yeah, sure.
my good friend Jimmy Carper hosts the other gay radio show on KPFT in Houston. It's called After Hours. It's on late Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And in around the end of 1999, I started calling him, requesting music by gay artists. Say, could you play so-and-so, or could you just play more music by lesbian and gay artists? Because there just wasn't enough avenues for them to be heard, practically mm-hmm. no avenues for them to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, please play some more, play some more. And finally he said, why don't you come on and play some? And I'm like, you know, not exactly calling my bluff, but said, oh, okay. And you know, I'd known him a while, so we were friends, and I put together a couple half-hour segments, and we had real good rapport. We had a good time. And I remember playing Tom Robinson, which we just heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the producer of the Monday night show, Queer Voices, then it was called Lesbian and Gay Voices. They've evolved.
Yes.
That producer heard our segment and invited me to do a segment on their show. And I said, well, okay. No radio experience whatsoever. Just mm-hmm. And if you listen to some of my early shows, you believe that. I kind of cringe when I hear some of those because yeah. I talk so fast.
Yeah.
And the editing was very crude. I didn't know what I was doing. But, you know, I kind of gradually figured it out.
Yeah, well, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. And probably the big breakthrough was, let me back up a step. I wanted to get the music online because I wanted to share it. Mm-hmm. And at first I had a site with AOL, and you know, the free space site that they give you, which is, it's okay for a start, but it wouldn't allow me to upload sound files. So that was important to me. So I gradually bought a very smart web program, Dreamweaver, and studied that for quite a while, and then started uploading the music and the photos. I've always thought the music history is a visual as well as an audio experience,
mm-hmm.
and people really need to see those old album covers or cassette covers or
yeah.
photos of the artists, because this information is not on the net.
Yeah.
It's just not there. So I kind of took it as my project.
Yeah, well, I mean, your website is fabulous, and that's why I want people to know about that. Because, you know, you do have those visuals. There are some old, like, 45s and... 78s that, you know, not only do we not know exist in many cases, but where are we going to ever see them? You know, so... and then not only that, then you do your specials. Now, maybe talk a little bit about how you know, you're trying to educate people as well as entertain.
Yeah, I kind of joke that... I sneak information down their throats while they're being entertained. But it is an education because it's not just nice music.
Mm.
It's the music and the interviews. These are people telling their stories, and they happen to be gay, lesbian, bi, and trans stories. And they're reflecting not only their personal journeys with their orientation, but the journeys of a period in time.
Mm-hmm.
Artists talking about dealing with coming out in the 70s, that's a different story than the 80s, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all history that is important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even some of the early labels, like you've got some things by Camp Records.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
That is one of my favorite, the favorite parts of my site that people go to. I can tell from the traffic on the server.
Mm-hmm.
It gets high traffic to my Camp Records page. And what Camp Records was, you know, I encourage people to go to that section of the site because you can hear all the music from this label. This was a label from the 60s of what we would call novelty records now. And they were done with very campy, lispy, very stereotypical singing styles.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I can imagine gay people being embarrassed by that music. But
mm-hmm.
now, you know, we don't look at it that way. It's just fun. It's camp. And again, it's a slice of that history.
Mm-hmm.
And these were recordings that were all pretty much anonymous. We don't know who was actually singing these records. They had pseudonames like B. Bubba and Bird E. Bass.
Yeah. That's very hilarious.
And the numbers on the 45s, they weren't really numbers. They were letters and numbers. They would say, like, I am one, are you two?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am gay, are you also?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it was a fun little piece of culture, and it's a very popular page.
Yes. Well, for our listeners, this is www.queermusicheritage.com is the website. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the music clips that we heard coming up to the beginning?
Well, we heard quite a cross-section. We heard Doug Stevens, one of my favorite country artists. He pretty much got gay country music started in 93. Now, there was one earlier openly gay album in 73 by Patrick Haggerty called Lavender Country. But then there was a gap of 20 years somehow before anybody else really picked up that mantle, and he did a great job with it.
Mm-hmm.
From Doug, we went to Ma Rainey, my favorite blues song.
Mm.
The Prove It On Me Blues. Went to a party with a gang of my friends. They must have been women because I don't like no man. I just love that line. And followed up with Tom Robinson, one of the icons of queer music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple, three years ago. What an experience.
And what did he have to say? What's he doing these days?
Well, he's hosting a BBC radio show.
Oh, really?
He's not producing much music nowadays. He still does shows once in a while. You know, he lives in England, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's married. He has a kid.
Wow.
But he still maintains he's queer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I had the pleasure of sitting in a hotel room for an hour with him doing the interview. And he even sang a song at the end. He sang, "Glad to be gay, just for me," and he added a verse that had never been recorded about Matthew Shepard.
Oh, wow.
So that was a treat. And you can hear that on my site.
Oh, really? Excellent. Uh-huh. Yeah. Tell us about who are some of your favorite interviews that you've done.
Well, without going to make somebody mad,
yeah,
if I leave them out.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dixie.
Okay,
but I will say this. Whenever anybody asks me who gave the best interview, I immediately think of Mary Gaucher.
Hmm.
She's an alt-country artist, a fairly new artist, but to hear her talk about her craft is just enthralling.
Interesting.
Just amazing. She's an exquisite songwriter.
And when did she come about? I'm not familiar with her.
1999 was her first album, so she's pretty recent.
Yeah.
She's had about four or five albums, and they, especially, she's getting more and more attention and more critical acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
worth checking out.
Are you finding there's more country artists now that are out or not?
Country? No.
No.
Not
no.
really. Nashville is very homophobic, and it does not encourage that.
Yeah. You know, the other area that we don't hear, I think, very openly queer artists is the jazz arena.
True, true. And that's another genre that has a lot of homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a jazz show, I think, in 2003. And I played all the jazz artists, you know, gay and lesbian, that I pretty much come up with.
Yeah.
And ending with a salute to Billy Strayhorn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good one.
But there are not a lot that are real visible.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can only tell you a handful, and maybe there's some younger folks coming up, but...
But you know what's exciting me lately is the transgendered artists that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
I did... it's one of my favorite areas to cover, and this year I just got on a binge and I did four shows in a row.
Wow.
On transgendered artists, and I featured Lipstick Conspiracy, Alexandra Billings, a duo called Coyote Grace,
mm-hmm.
Joshua Clip, jazz musician Jennifer Lightham. There's a jazz artist for you.
Yeah, I'll have to look her up.
And it was just hearing those four different shows, all these different voices, different experiences from different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonderful.
That's fabulous. Well, also, now let's see. Tell us a little bit about you're involved with Audiophile and This Way Out and Queer Voices. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
Well, Audiophile was really a nice thing to happen to me. With all my connections online, around 2001, I kind of became acquainted with Chris Wilson, who's mm-hmm. one of the founding producers of Audiophile, and her partner, Pam Marshall, had been a producer, and Pam was kind of getting burned out. and they wanted someone to kind of step in and help, so they invited me, although we had never met in person, so this is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
But I said, yeah, this sounds really interesting. And it was a wonderful opportunity because it gave me a different angle, a different exposure. Because, you know, besides the history show, and I do feature some recent artists, but mainly mm-hmm. it's a history show.
Yeah.
Audiophile segments is brand new music, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much less than a year old. So this gives us a chance to give them exposure and gives me some credibility about getting connections with these artists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And what about then your Queer Voices show on KPFT,
right.
Yeah.
Queer Voices is the Monday night show that hosts my Queer Music Heritage show. Queer Music Heritage is once a month on the fourth Monday in the second hour of the show. The show's about 8 to 10 Central Time. But I regularly am on there live doing all kinds of interviews, not just music.
Okay, so that's kind of a mix then.
Kind of a talk show, yeah.
Yeah.
But I've interviewed recent artists, if I can get them on, Josh Duffy and Alan Lett are local artists who do mm-hmm. kind of a very pop sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have live folks on. I've had Melissa Ferrick on live.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it depends on who's available on a Monday night in Houston.
Yeah, really, exactly. Well, listen, thanks a lot for calling in. We really appreciate this. And tell us a little bit, you know, we'll be finishing up the interview. We're going to go out with some more sound clips that you sent
mm-hmm. me. Want me to intro those?
Yeah, I've got them set up with Romanofsky and Phillips, Meg Christian, and Maxine Feldman.
Okay, Romanofsky and Phillips are two of my favorites. They're iconic to me. They're
mm-hmm.
a duo, mostly active in the 80s and early 90s, and they were out politically in a wonderful way,
mm-hmm.
which was just inspiring and just great, great music, very clever, very funny. Mae Christian, one of the main founders of the women's music movement.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like 1974 for her first album, so you're going to hear a clip from that. She was involved with Olivia Records, the wonderful label that spawned
That's
so
right.
many women artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I love women's music. Ending up with, this is kind of appropriate, Maxine Feldman was the creator of the first openly lesbian 45 in 1969, before
wow.
Stonewall.
Wow.
It was called Angry Athens. There's quite a story from that, and she died this past year,
oh.
but people can hear a great interview she gave me from several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example of capturing these people online.
Yeah, that's
capturing
fabulous.
Our history.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The song by Maxine I selected was one called Come Out of the Closet, which I got to hear her do live at the 1979 March.
Wow, that's fabulous. Well, listen, thanks so much for putting all this heritage together for us and educating, you know, not only the GLBT community, but anyone else who would be listening, you know, to know that this is out there.
It's my passion.
And thank you so much for calling Fresh Fruit.
Thanks, Dixie.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, J.D.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. That was J.D. Doyle, host of Queer Music Heritage. Let's listen to another set of audio clips that he sent me.
Come out of the closet. love me. Come out of the closet. Be free. Come out of the closet. I know it's a dark in there, so come out, oh, with scream and shout and see everybody everywhere.
All right, that's a few other clips that JD had sent me. We heard Romanofsky and Phillips, Give Me a Homosexual, from 1988, then May Christian, Ode to a Gym Teacher, 1974, and Maxine Feldman, Come Out of the Closet, from 1979. Again, that's Queer Music Heritage, www.queermusicheritage.com. And you can also get information about Audiophile and Queer Voices from JD's website. So be sure to check that out.